I'm so glad to see you today. Those that are here and those that I can't see, I'm thankful, I'm very grateful that you're looking in. Because God is going to be with us today. He's already with me. I know He's with these that are here. He said He'd never leave us or forsake us. That means He's not leaving us to our own charge. That means He's around to kind of correct His children, right? Today we're going to be continuing a sermon that we have two sessions on, or two parts on, and it's going to be the biblical characteristics for leadership. And I want you to be taken out for a moment of your modern thinking. Because when God was speaking to people and when His Word was being written by the Holy Spirit, He was not talking to 21st century people. He was not talking to theologians, even though you've got one in the room with you. He was talking to men and women that were going to follow Him and carry His message into the scads of decades to come. And so here we are in the last days. This is the last days. If you have not read the Word of God and you want to find out how do I know that this is the last days, I'll be glad to sit down with you and tell you what God has said. The characteristics of the last days. For everything that we see, I mean, even the Apostle Paul, when he was talking about, you know, people wouldn't love each other anymore because iniquity abounds and that kind of thing. And, you know, it's like that because people are, they're about an inch deep and a mile wide. That means they're just very thin when it comes to the things of God. But I don't want you to be that way. God called me a long time ago to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to preach the gospel of the kingdom to people all over the earth. He didn't say to a box. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, when the doctor said, after four strokes, you can't get on an aircraft anymore because you'll throw clots and you won't get off the aircraft. You could die on that aircraft and that kind of thing. Then so I had to make a decision that I was going to hear what God had to say. I said, well, how do I go into all the world and preach the gospel? And the following week, a man showed up in my house with video equipment. And we hooked up with the computers and all of that kind of thing. And the next thing we know, we were reaching out to tens of thousands of people. There have been times that we've reached out to more than that. When we had postcards from God. It was people that were hungry to hear what God was saying in the moment, but they were not willing to hear what God had said in His Word. And the Lord said, I want you to stop that. And then when I didn't stop it immediately, He stopped it for me. He made a change in what happened on the computer and that kind of thing. And I was just thankful that God is still in control. You see, He's still in control, right? You know, you think you're controlling things. All you're doing is you're trying to go your direction, and then God is the one that says, you can plan all you want to plan, but my plan is the one that's going to happen. And I'm going to change things, even if you don't like it. I'll still do that. Because I love you. And because I love you, I want you to do my will, because that's the only way you will be able to spend an eternity with me. So having said that, I'm not here to, and understand, listen, I want you to know what I'm saying to you. I'm not trying to be in your face all the time. Sometimes I have to be because I see what's going on, and as a pastor and somebody that's called to look over the flock of God, and no matter how old you are, He called me to watch over you. And I have to get an account for you because you're sitting here under this teaching and preaching, I have to give an account. If I see you doing something wrong, there has to be correction, instruction in righteousness, so that you can actually walk in the direction that God wants you to walk. Now, I know you're not that much older than me. Well, it doesn't matter how old. But I want to tell you that I've been doing this for 47 years. Some of you hadn't been on the earth for 47 years. Some of you have. And I want you to know that in that 47 years, the Lord has dealt with me every day of my life about the choices that I made, about the associations that I had. Because you can't just associate with everybody. You know what I mean. God won't let you just associate with anybody and everybody because, you know, they will have an effect on how you behave and how you talk and that kind of thing. You know, I heard somebody this morning preaching. I don't remember who it was, but, you know, I mean, it's going on all the time around here. But he reminded me in Proverbs that, you know, if we hang with wisdom, we will have wisdom. If we don't hang with wisdom, if we hang with foolishness, we'll have what? Because that's what happens. You will make decisions. You will bend. I don't want to do this, but I'll do it because they're here and that kind of. And you can't be that malleable with humans. Humans are not God. And I'm not going to spend an eternity with bad people. I promise you that I choose who I will spend time with because I know what God expects of me as His servant, His son. So today, when we're talking about these things, I want to go back just a moment. We're going to go back to number five, which is, does a person have the capacity for the role of leadership? Capacity. When you think of capacity, what do you think about? The ability to take into themselves what it means to be a leader. We're not just talking about somebody that wants to get up and say something. I've had a lot of people over the years that want to talk. But they talk this way. And it's just about the talk. It's not about leading. Leading is about saying, follow me as I follow Christ. It's not follow me. It's follow me as I follow Christ. And I promise you, in 47 years, I've made mistakes. But not a lot. The ones that I made taught me that there's a belt waiting from my Father when I miss. And, you know, and His correction is just or justified. And He wants to do it beforehand so He doesn't have to do it afterwards, right? I know that God has, in this moment, given this message, not just for those of you that are here, but for those of you that are watching around the world, because we don't just put somebody in a spot of leadership because we don't have somebody to do a certain thing. Because if they don't have the capacity to be a leader, then you can actually cause, again, it's the influences. The influence of somebody that is supposed to be in leadership can make a huge difference in whether your group, your church, your community is going to be what God wants it to be. Could you imagine having Satan in the pulpit? No, if you're doing that in your mind right now, I'm not Satan. I promise you that. Satan doesn't talk to Jesus. He's already been defeated by him. You know, Jesus talks to Satan, and he uses some of us to do it, to give him what's due him. and afterwards, he'll take care of the rest of it, right? So we're going to turn in the Bible to Acts chapter 20, verse 28. And I want you to look at it, and we're going to be looking at it from the English Standard Version. And it says, pay careful attention. What does pay careful attention mean? It means focus. Get a snake stare on it. It's not unloving to look at somebody that's doing something wrong and give them a snake stare. And behind that, you can love them, but you need to love them sternly because they're doing something that is in the direction of their own destruction. If you love somebody, let me ask you a question. If you've got a child and they're young and they're making decisions and their decisions aren't what you know to be right, good, what God would approve of, would you approve of their activity? So why in the world do you think that I should approve of activities that are not in line with God? As your pastor and bishop, I'm here to make you understand what God expects of you. Listen, pay careful attention to yourselves. First of all, before you can be a leader of somebody else, you got to have your own act together, right? Would God allow somebody that didn't have their act together to be a leader? Not God. But men's organizations can do that. There are organizations out there that will put people in the pulpit because they're charismatic, or they can draw a crowd and that kind of thing. Listen to me. That does not mean that person is God's person. It means an organization is using somebody's personality to draw a crowd to do something that they want to do. That's usually to pay for their plant. If you're just building plants and you want people to say, we go to the big plant over there. I've been there. But I want to tell you something. That's not God. God is in the building of people business. Amen. So pay a careful attention to yourselves and to look at this word, all. I have had persons that would come and they would want to minister and that kind of thing only if they were doing something were they even involved with what was going on in the larger group of the church. Listen, that's not why you lead. Because leading means all are important, not just little group that you have collectively gathered around you. Amen? So pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has Holy Spirit has made you overseers. That word is bishopric. Somebody that meddles in your business. Who did that? God did that. Well, I don't like you in my business. I'm sorry. You don't get to tell God what to do, and I don't either. And so that is what he has done. He has made, by the way, you know this, that the Holy Spirit and the Son and the Father are one. They're God. There's one God. These three entities are in their fullness in Jesus, the only body of the Godhead. So having said that to you, when Jesus was here, he spoke, he was God. When the Holy Spirit was poured out, he was here, he's God. The Father, before all of it began, was God, right? He had the plan. So anyway, when the Holy Spirit comes and He says, I'm going to make you an overseer, that isn't the collective choice of somebody's committee. Committees don't choose leadership. Who chooses leadership? God does. See, the problem in the apostate church in the last days is that you've got these people that are popular and they'll put them in a post. Nevertheless, while they're doing that, they're sending people to hell, because those people will bend, and they're malleable, but they're bending and malleable to the people, not the way of God. If you can't stand up and be a standard before people, then you've got something of a problem spiritually, because you're putting somebody's opinions of you above God's opinion of you. Y'all get a little louder with that.
That's right.
So the Holy Spirit made us overseers to care for the church of God, which He obtained with His own blood. The Holy Spirit made us overseers. What's an overseer? That means somebody that meddles. If I ask questions of a mother or a father about a child and that kind of thing, is that a problem? Now, there might be a problem if the mother and father is not asking the same questions. We were called to raise our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and they are supposed to be doing those things which God commands. If we can't do that, we have to ask, am I actually born again? Because a person that is born again has God's Spirit in them. By faith, Jesus resides in their heart. And because of that, then God can speak to them directly. And what He does is He confirms His Word. How many of you have ever been to church and got the Word of God confirmed to you?
Amen.
So God has this intent in His heart to make you understand that He loves you, and He does not want anybody to perish. That's grace. It's a gift. You can't earn it, but you can obey Him, and you'll have more of it.
Amen.
There is more grace to be had, and I'm thankful for it. You know, I need more grace. I want to be a graceful person. I want to be filled with humility. I want no pride in anything that I do. And I promise you that as long as God has given me His Spirit and that Spirit remains in me, then I'm looking at God, who's bigger than me, bigger than you, bigger than all churches, bigger than the world. And so when we get before Him and we see that largeness of God, then we realize that our Heavenly Father, think about it. He loves you. Can you imagine why? I wonder. Why do you love me, God? Okay. So, does a person have the capacity? Let's go on. Hebrews 13:17 in the New American Standard says this, obey your leaders and submit to them. Why? Why do I have to submit to anybody? For they keep watch over your souls as those who have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Do you want everything to be unprofitable? Don't you want everything to profit? You know, and I like it when things are profiting, and I like it when God's doing things, and I give Him His way, and then all of a sudden things are working in line with Him. You know, the adversary has no power then, because the power that is given to me is of God. And I'm profiting because God is looking at my obedience. And God comes and manifests Himself. Now, I said that somebody the other day wrote me and said, you ever seen God? No, I've seen Jesus several times. I've got pictures, by the way, if you want to see them. I had Jesus show up right out here in the clouds, right out here. His face was looking down at doves and that kind of thing. And they were three and three and one. And you know, I've shown y'all that picture before. It was the very picture of the face of Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to know what he looks like, send me $20.99 and I'll send you a picture. No. God, I can't even believe I said that. Anyway. Again, capacity means that you've got to be able to take in everything that God wants you to take in and everything for the purpose of doing His will. There's a lot of people who want to be something, but they don't have what they need to be it. There is a gap in what's going on in their ability to lead. And the reason that God is long-suffering is because there's a lot of gaps. It takes a while to get people to be what they need to be. Anyway, does a person have that capacity for the role of leadership? Does a person reflect a concern for the spiritual well-being of the entire church, all the flock of God? By the way, that's not just my box. The church is not a box. The church is you and me. And so if we don't have a concern that is larger than our box and our friendships and our, you've got to understand, God didn't send us into the world to have just a collective little few around us, our us four and no more. It is to go into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. How many is every? Everywhere I go, every day that I get up, everything that I say ought to be preaching. It's not just preaching. It's a life lived before somebody else that shows them that the intent of God is to have sons and daughters that will do His will in all of the earth. Right? So is there an appreciation for the responsibility and accountability that God has given to the individuals to watch over the entire church? Are you a leader? It doesn't stop at our doorstep, does it? Why did He do what He did with this place? He took us out of that box mentality. He said, look, my church is everywhere. And now I'm going to cause you to be able to embrace that and to minister to people everywhere. Well, I said, how can I do that? I've tried to buy airline tickets before. They're amazingly expensive. And when you have to go somewhere else in the world and you get on an aircraft and that kind of thing, it takes money. And it takes money to come back. And I said, well, God, there's got to be a better way. I know You're wiser than the wise. And I know that it's not about money to You. You own it all. But You got to show me how to reach out to the church, to pastors, to communities. You've got to help me. And then He said, I'm going to help you. And He opened up the world to us through a video camera, a network. And now we've got pastors all over the world. 37,000 of them. That's a lot of people. We couldn't get them in this box. Okay, got to go home. I know that you would like for me to run through this, but I've got to give you what God says for me to give you. Okay. Will you be patient with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Does the person that's in leadership, do they have compassion? What is compassion? It's not us looking at them and feeling sorry for them. Compassion is knowing that we've been through what they've been through, and because of that, we can feel what they feel, and we want to help them to get to the place where they overcome. We want to help them. We model before them what we need to do with the comfort that I've been comforted with. I must comfort others, right? I have counselees that come in, and all the time they're coming in and I'm saying, I want to start this by telling you that nobody's ever been here that didn't go out of here and that didn't have to minister to somebody else that was in the same kind of need. So this is instruction in righteousness, it's correction, and all of this that's going to happen to you is going to be for your good. And I'm not going to just give you psychobabble. Now, I want to tell you that I'm a psycho-spiritual leader. That means, and you know, I know you don't understand that, but before I could actually just be a spiritual leader, I had to find out that there were nuts and fruits everywhere and that I needed to know what was going on in nuts and fruits. I'm not trying to upset you by saying that, but people can lose. It's so easy to get swayed in a wrong direction, and it's not just going to affect one person. It's not just that person. It will affect everyone around them.
Amen.
And all of you have been there. I've been there. And because of that, I have to comfort people because God has shown me that those things that I went through were for His purpose. Well, why'd you let me go through that mess, God? Well, I'm showing you what a mess is, first of all. And then secondly, I'm going to show you how to get out of it. And then I'm going to show you how to help others to get out of their messes too and to understand how they got into the mess they're in, right?
Amen.
Okay, next slide. Again, we're back at Acts chapter 20, verse 28 again. And now beware, be sure that you feed and shepherd God's flock, His church, purchased with His blood, for the Holy Spirit is holding you responsible as overseers. There's a reason in the Scripture that it says to us this, that if you are in leadership, there is a greater condemnation. That's the reason that if you're a real leader, you don't put up with a lot of junk. Because you know that you're going to have to stand eyeball to eyeball with your Creator and give an account for everything that you say. Now, if you don't approve of that very mature spot in what God said, you'll come to it. Because He is going to hold us accountable. Now, you say, well, I'm not a church leader. Oh, look. You still have a small view of things. See, you've got children. Some of you got grandchildren. And you are a leader whether you want to be or not. He said that you were responsible to raise them in the nurture. That nurture means feed them on God and admonition of the Lord. And if you do that, then He's pleased. If you don't do that, then He's not pleased, right? How many of you have ever made a mistake in raising your children? Not me, brother. Get that pride out of you. I know. Look, some of you, I've been around a long time. And I know what kind of mistakes you make. I am an overseer. and looking at it, I cry out to God on your behalf. I ask Him to give me wisdom to be able to speak to you. I know sometimes you want to run away from it because you don't want anybody to think you ever make any mistakes. You know, Satan has you bound up in pride. Your pride is keeping you from being even able to admit the truth. Don't you realize that pride goeth before destruction? I need to go on. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. Feed the flock of God. Now I'm going to be changing just a moment. Don't get upset and don't write me. I don't have time to respond to your emails, so don't write me. Don't write me. If you just disagree, just pray for me if you think I'm wrong. I'm just reading it out of the Scripture, though, and before you actually start praying curses over me, realize that might come back to bite you. Feed the flock of God and care for it willingly. That word is a big word. Because I want to tell you something, having pastored all these years, I've tried to do it willingly. Sometimes, as we read in the last scripture, there are problems that occur because there are personalities that are always fighting the truth. Personalities. And they think that they're okay and they're all right. Now, you don't fight with the man of God and think it's all right. You're going to have to answer, and don't make that man of God have to do that with sorrow. It won't end well for you. I just read that to you out of the Scripture in Acts chapter 20 and 28. But it says here, feed the flock of God, care for it willingly. 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 Not grudgingly. No, I don't know anybody that's in ministry that wants to be caring for people grudgingly. So don't make them do that. Okay? Not for what you will get out of it. And I can promise you that. Ministry cost. Over the years, I've given away scores of money. Just scores and scores. And to people that didn't care. They were just getting their need met and that kind of thing, and all of a sudden they don't care. They don't even remember it. Or they, you know, well, so that's your job. You're supposed to give away money. No, that's not my job. My job, if there's a description, is to bring to you the gospel of Jesus Christ and to tell you that gospel is good news, but it requires an obedience from you. Okay? There is obedience necessary. Listen, feed them, care for them, not grudgingly, not for what you will get out of it, because you are eager to serve the Lord. If I weren't eager to serve the Lord, I would have quit and I would have been inside of somebody's brain back in 1974. I would have been cutting into heads. That's what I was prepared to do. And God said, you're going to be in people's heads just a different way. Different way. It doesn't require the same kind of insurance. Thank you, Jesus. Having said that, I want to go on. A person that has the compassion in their heart, when you see that somebody needs Jesus and you talk to them about Jesus and you talk to them about their life situations, what happens is that you're finding people that are lost, and you don't look at them through eyes of judgment. You look at them as those people that God does not want to perish. That is what the gift of grace, it is not earned. It's a gift of grace. And we don't sit around in judgment. And please, if you get into leadership and think that it's about judging others, no, it's about looking at what's going on and knowing what's going on from the Word of God and then directing them out of that mess. It's not judgmentalism.
Amen.
It is correction. But it's not judgmentalism. Judgmentalism puts a person in hell because you don't deserve to go to heaven. Do you? Do you? Do you? Think about it. Do you deserve to go to heaven? What did you do to deserve to go to heaven? You don't have His Spirit if you're still sitting around judging everything that people do. And I want to tell you something. I'm thankful for my upbringing and what I went through, but I want to tell you the truth. Legalism is there. And they taught me that, you know, if you do this wrong, you're going to hell. If you did that wrong, you know, if you spit on the sidewalk, you're going to hell. This is just not the way of God, and it isn't the Word of God. And there are a lot of people that are out of line with the Word of God. I had to go through that. I actually went through a whole season of that because I was trained to do that. And listen, I want to tell you something. Just because they tell you in a seminary that you can do certain things. No, look, the license that they're giving to you is not the license of God. They're teaching you something that they learned and they're passing it on generation to generation. But God said, come out of that. Come out from among them. I want you to be separate. I want you to see them as I see them. And all of a sudden I was looking at going, oh God, I can't believe it. We were looking for ways to send people to hell. That's not God's way. He doesn't want anybody to perish. Now, that doesn't mean that we're getting soft on sin. Sin is an offense to God. It is doing something that God would not have you to do. It corrupts you as a person and it will destroy you. It actually is a part of what Satan did with pride. Amen. I will be like the Most High. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm going to set myself on the mounts above everything and everybody. Look, that's pride. And the other side is, you know, that's pride. You can have pride in the ditch. I'm okay. And you're not okay. How many of you have ever gone to church and said, and I had somebody shook your hand, and how you doing? I'm doing fine. Life falling apart. I'm doing fine. Look, you cannot lie to God. He knows what you are going through. Amen?
Amen.
By the way, He will once in a while tell me what you're going through. All right. Does a person reflect a concern for helping lost people find Jesus? You can't be a leader if you don't know that that's about. That's everything that Jesus was. Go and find the lost sheep. He'd leave the 99 and go find the one. Leave me alone. Nope. Nope. You see, God didn't say I could make exceptions. He said, go find that one that's lost. And when you find them, take hold of them. Drag them back to where they need to be. You got family members that need to be in church. They need to be in church because they need to hear the Word of God so that their faith can be built, and they cannot please God without faith. And if they're not in church, well, and let me say this to you, because if they're not in church with you, why not? Why not? You don't want your children to have to pay. the ultimate price for their sin. What mother and father would want their child to be eternally punished for what they did? By the way, you can't get away with that because you'll have to give an account for what you did, how you raised your children, what you said to your children. All of that you're going to give an account for. You'll stand with Jesus and have to give a complete, not a person. He won't say, well, you sin one sin, let's send you to hell. No, it won't be like that. See, you have to go through the whole record, everything you did wrong. Well, he's forgiven me. But see, no, if you're going to hell, there is no whitewashing what's going on. All of it you will answer for. The only thing that somebody that is born again answers for is what did you do with what you got? That's called leadership.
Amen.
When I get around a lost person, I get excited. I mean, I really do. I'm like a dog. That kind of thing, because I know when I'm with them, I've got God with me, and He is looking at them like, oh, you need me. And when I look at them, I'm going, you need Jesus. And well, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to be religious. I'm saying, you don't have a clue what it is to have a relationship. A relationship isn't just about some external. A relationship is something you share, the heart, the internals, you know, the intimates of yourself and that kind of thing. And when you do that, you expect the same thing in return. If Jesus was wonderfully giving to us His heart, His love, and telling us what He wanted for us and that kind of thing, He expects the same thing in return. Right? Do you expect that from your children? You want your children to love you like you love them? Maybe even better than you love them, right? Because I know children kind of can, they can test your fabric, right? Not yours, just mine, right? Okay, and my grandson, okay. I love my children, my child and my grandchildren. Is a person really, really called? 1 Peter 5:2, and we read that. Let's look at it again. It says, from Paul, a missionary. Well, that's Galatians, I'm sorry. It's okay.
It's not there.
Okay, it's all right. We've got it. What he tells us is that there are people that need to be led. And in 1 Peter, when he says that to us, they need to be led where? And a leader has to put himself back here, put that person before them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, I want you to hear what I'm saying to you. Our God requires us to put the people that He loves before us, before our opinions, before our actions, before our decisions, because that's what He did when He came here. He put His Father's will before His own will, and then He put all of that that the Father had sent Him for in His heart. He had to put Himself behind all of that so that He could do what the Father had sent Him here to do. I hate religion. Let me say that openly and before everybody. It's the rust of relationship. Because you can't have a relationship with God dictating to Him what you want. You have a relationship with God when you say, God, Your will be done, and help me to know it, and strengthen me to do it, and give me the character person that I can be what You want me to be, because I can't do it without You. Amen. That was a good amen point. Okay. Galatians 1, 1 and 2, in the Living Bible it says this, Paul, the missionary to all of the other Christians here, and all the other Christians here, to the churches of Galatia, I was not called to be a missionary by any group or agency. My call is from Jesus Christ Himself and from God the Father who raised Him from the dead. Callings don't come from men. Now that doesn't mean you can't have a position in the church and serve people and that kind of thing. That, we need that in the church. We need people that can be servants of others. If you want to be the greatest in the kingdom, you serve everybody else. And you're last. Right? And to be a leader of Christ, for Jesus Christ, we're going to have to put ourselves behind everything else and allow God and His will to be up front. And that means serving people. Let me give it to you in another fashion. Listen to me. Come on in just a little bit. I want you to hear this. You see, grace is not earned. It is a gift. And Jesus extends grace of God to us through the work that He did on the cross and at Calvary and through His resurrection. Did we deserve anything that He did? So when we do, we don't say, well, they're not deserving of my time or my money or my whatever it is. No, no, no. See, you can't be like that and be a leader because, see, you've got to be like Jesus. And Jesus didn't do that. He said, I'm going to put them before my need. Before my need. And when I do, I want them to understand that I'm doing that, even though they might not appreciate it. How many of you have ever given something to a grandchild or a child and they didn't appreciate it? And it was a sacrifice for you. Now you see Jesus. He sacrifices for somebody that doesn't even care that it's a sacrifice. That's leadership. To do it in spite of all of the self-centered, navel-gazing, give yourself. Give yourself. And keep giving yourself. And you don't stop because somebody didn't, they hurt your feelings or they didn't say thank you. I don't know that I've received very many, probably less than 100 thank yous over the years. I'm always glad when I hear it. Then it's suspect because I wonder, you know what I mean. If all men speak well, beware if all men speak well of you. You know what I'm saying. I've had a lot of people that, you know, kiss up to me and then they wouldn't be there but just a short time. Because they were trying to manipulate something out of me. I've had people come right into this very place and they spent a whole Sunday service wanting me to give them money. And one of them actually wanted me to give them money to go get their car out of the pound. You remember that? And give them money after that to get themselves, paid out of trouble with their attorney. Is that the church's job? And I have people all the time that, well, man, listen, let me teach you something, okay? Can you listen just a moment more? People will come into the church because they know that the church is supposed to be loving and caring and giving and that kind of thing. And so they will come in and try to manipulate you. I've had people that came, I had somebody that called me and they wanted me to go and, put somebody up in a motel and that kind of stuff. Listen. And that person lived in that motel. They didn't go to work. They stood on the side of the road with you've seen them, had a sign. Unemployed. We'll work for money. I have never seen one of them want to work for money. But see, there's some scripture behind what they're saying, because if I don't work, the Bible says, I should not eat. Do you know how many people, if I had it to give, I wouldn't do it. It's not because I'm not giving. If they want to eat, they can come eat with me at my table every day. I'll make sure that we got sandwiches or something for somebody to eat. And they can be in the same environment that I'm in and under an air conditioner, heat, and that kind of stuff. Listen to me. But if they are saying, give me money so I can go, and I don't know them, I have pastors doing that every day all over the world. I don't know them. And they want me to give them money to build pole barns and they try to manipulate me with the homeless and the poor and that kind of thing. I'm going, we already give to the poor. What are you doing? You're begging, I'm not. And if you give to the poor, God will give you more to give. And if you don't, you won't get it. See, He gives to you as you give. And listen, Pastor, He will give to you as you give. And if you give a lot, He'll give a lot. If you give a little, well, that's the kind of return you want on what you're giving. If you want all of those little babies out there that you put on pictures and send to me and that kind of look, I'm not being unkind to you. I'm just saying, do what He said and He will do what He said. And don't manipulate. That's witchcraft. Don't use the Poe Me stories on people that are already doing the will of God. Amen. I love people. But before that I want them fed physically, I want them born again spiritually, and I want them receiving because they are His children. I can't feed the whole world. Jesus even told His disciples, listen, He told His disciples, leave your purse at home. Don't take a second coat. You won't be coming home with it. He knew. And everywhere He went, they were just like they are in me. They come and they are like fire ants, as I've said. They're crawling on you all the time. I need, I need, I need, I need. And I've gotten to the place where I have to just cut and paste that I can't do that for you because I've got thousands of those things happening a week. Didn't that I don't care. I don't have that. And if I had it, God would have to be the wisdom in the use of it. Do you know that people are always going to be in need? What are they in need of? Who is it that said He would meet every need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus? He didn't give me the heavens bank book and say, well, just write those checks out indiscriminately to everybody. It just doesn't work that way. And everybody has a poor me story. And they will make you the poor me story if they can. Hundreds of thousands of dollars in my lifetime I have given to people. Hundreds of thousands. Why? I give when he says give. I don't give because I'm being manipulated. I give because the Lord put it in my heart to give. Generally, it's to get somebody back on course. Because if they're off course, that see, I'm not going to make hardships. Are you listening? Are you, pastors, are you listening? If you made it this far, I want you to listen to this. We can enable people to continue in iniquity by just paying their lunch budget. We make the way of the transgressor light when our Lord said that the way of the transgressor was to be hard. That hardness is not loving. That hardness is to let those people realize you can't keep doing this and keep doing this and keep doing this and get away with it. This is not God's will. And the church is not put here to be a social gospel. It's put here to help people find Christ. And when they find Christ, they'll find everything they have need of. Because all of those rules that he gave to me, he'll give to you and he'll give to other people. And we have to do what he said. Do you have $1 billion today? Can you take care of 10,000 people that say, I need you to send money so I can feed homeless orphans in Biafra or Uganda or Pakistan or India or Asia? Everywhere I look, there are people in dire straits, but it's because they are serving the wrong God. They are serving themselves. And then they're complaining that they don't have enough because they don't have any power to do beyond what they're doing because they're not living as they should be living. Amen. Do you want to be a leader? It takes a little more than just saying I've got a spot somewhere or an office title or something. Look, it means that you've got to keep score with everybody around you. You have to know what's going on. God won't let you get away with that. Well, we're glad we got a bunch of people in our box. Do you even know their names? I can tell you, just because you got a big box doesn't mean you've got the Church of Jesus Christ. If you don't know their name, you don't know their family, you don't know what's going on in their life, then you're not leading anybody. I remember when Moses did it, in closing. Moses was saying, goodness, all these people coming with all these needs. And the Lord spoke to him and said, I'm going to cause your father-in-law to help you with this. Gave him people next to him to help him with all the people issues that were going on. When I say to you, don't get upset, but when I say to you that we need leadership, I need real God-given leaders around me that have the same heart and want to do the same thing that God has called us to do. And I want their gifts in operation all the time. Their gifts need to be in operation all the time, not sometime. Your gift makes room for you. Amen? Amen. If you are willing to be God's man, God's woman, then He will fill in the gaps for you. What you lack, He will begin to deal with you, and He will actually make that what it needs to be. He needs to. You're not smart enough, strong enough. You don't certainly have the bank account enough. But you have the ability to say yes to God and to love people. No matter what they're like, no matter what they're going through, and you need to love them just as He loves you. Amen. Oh, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, pour Your Holy Spirit on this word and to every soul that listens. And Father, I ask You, they always want a blessing, but let them hear what will bless them. Open the doors for this word to go further than it's ever been. Father, we ask this, that Your name might be glorified and Your men and women would be healed of situations. They will be empowered with a knowledge of what Your will is for them. Father, we ask these things in the precious name of our brother, our Savior, Jesus. Because He did it for us, Lord, we can do it for You. In Jesus' name, make it so. Amen. Amen. Amen.